Good morning. Glad to see everyone here this morning. If you're visiting with us, we're so happy that you've come our way. And we hope and pray that you'll be able to visit us again anytime that you have that opportunity. I've been talking for a couple of weeks now about our plan of work, for our theme for the year, and things along that line. But today, you're going to be able to get your hands upon that plan for this year. Our theme for the year is take time to be holy. So I want us to take a few moments, this morning for us to talk about that particular topic. Sometimes we're afraid, really, as humans, to talk about this idea, this word of holy or holiness, in regards to humans, in regards to you or I. It's something sometimes it can be hard to understand. Sometimes it can be, confusing for some when we talk about this idea, this word, holy or holiness. And it's, part of that, I think, is because there are some in this world that have taken that word to an extreme and putting it upon themselves, saying they are incapable of sin. Friends, we know that that's not true. According to God's holy word, it's not true. We are all capable of sin. As the Bible tells us, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But as we consider this idea of taking time to be holy, I want to share a few things with you this morning as we get into our lesson. We think, and the Bible has a lot to say about this idea of holiness. Did you know it took 2,000 years before this word holy or holiness was ever mentioned in the scriptures? You don't read this word until Moses approaches the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3. It's the first time we come upon the word holy. In Exodus 3 and verse 5, we read God speaking to Moses, "Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground." Well, friend, let me ask you a question as we consider this idea of holiness this morning, as we are to take time to be holy. What made that ground holy? Moses may have walked through that area many times looking for lost sheep before. He may have stood upon that ground before and nothing about it was holy. So what that day made that ground holy? It was holy, friend, because of its association with God. God was there. And so the ground where Moses stood was holy. What about in Exodus chapter 12, we read of the holy convocation of the Passover? What made that event holy? Well, again, friend, it was because of its association with God. God's presence and His decree of the Passover made it holy. 70 times. Within the book of Exodus, we read the word holy or holiness. Let me ask you this, friend. What exactly, knowing all we know about the children of Israel, what exactly made them, what made that people a holy nation as opposed to the Canaanites? It was because of their association with God. Moses uses holy or holiness in Leviticus some 220 times. Friend, you think about just in Exodus and Leviticus, that's 290 times that the word holy or holiness is used. How important is holiness to God? Very important. Because He is holy. When you read the book of Leviticus, you read about the sacrificial lamb. What made that lamb holy? It was because God made it holy.
We don't see God at all without holiness. And we will not see God without holiness. Ephesians 5:27, 1 Peter 2 and verse 5. So friend, what makes a Christian holy as opposed to the rest of the world? Quite simply, friend, it's his or her association with God. And we must learn to appreciate holiness and what God has made holy. God made singing holy in worship. So if he made singing holy in worship according to his word, then the use of instrumental music and special music groups, so to speak, in worship are profanity. God made preaching holy. And so false teaching or something along those lines, something added to God's word, the profanity. Friends, it's sure holiness is association with God because He is holy. And so if you and I would be holy, we must be associated with the God of heaven. Now friend, as we think about that, being holy does not mean being perfect. One does not have to be perfect in order to be holy. That's impossible. We just talked about that. Romans 3 and verse 23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know that. But we should aim for perfection. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 11. But realize, friend, we cannot fully attain that perfection. Friends, it does not mean being better than someone else. You've heard that idea of holier than thou? That's not what holy means. Holy does not mean being better than someone else. In fact, our opinion of ourselves, according to God's word, should be lowered as we elevate the needs and thoughts of others above our own. There's no place for that kind of pride in the Christian. Being holy does not mean totally separating oneself from non-Christians. Jesus, in John 17 and verse 15, He did not pray that we take ourselves out of the world. Rather, He prayed that we should, that God would keep us from the evil one. Friends, our job as Christians, our vocation as Christians is to share the gospel of peace, the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with as many people as we possibly can. And friends, that means being able to share it with folks that don't already know it. We can't take ourselves out from among the world. Those are things that the word holy does not mean. But being holy does mean putting God first in our lives. Being set apart in His service. We're familiar with the idea of being sanctified, aren't we? To set apart, that's the idea. To set ourselves apart in God's service. Did you know that the words holiness and sanctification come from the same root Greek word? Hagios. Friends, it means that we are to try every day to be more and more like God. To follow after His Son's footsteps. That's holiness. I want to give you some reasons this morning as to why we ought to take time to be holy. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter gives us some reasons, if you will, to be holy or to take time to be holy. 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to begin in verse 13. Let's read together. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Phrase number one this morning. Take time to be holy because Jesus is coming back. Take time to be holy because Jesus is coming back. Friend, let me ask you a question. What would you do for the rest of today if you knew that Jesus was returning this evening? If you knew that Jesus would come back today, what would you do with the rest of the time that you had left? Would you make some phone calls to clear up some offenses and problems with others? Maybe. Would you forgive another or seek forgiveness? Something for us to think about. What kind of mind will we have in view of His coming? Look what Peter says, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind. Friends, he's talking here about having a prepared mind. Girding up your mind means trying, or tying rather, up one's loose outward garments. Put on a belt. In other words. And he says this is a prerequisite of being able to work uncovered. Gird up your mind. Prepare your mind. The English Standard says of this verse, therefore preparing your mind for action. Friends, this idea of preparing one's mind, of girding up one's mind, has the rough meaning of rolling up one's sleeve and going to work. Getting whatever may be getting in your way, getting it out of the way so that you can go to work. The mind doesn't have any sleeves to roll up, does it? What are we talking about? Friends, we're talking about discipline when it comes to our minds. We're talking about being prepared for the future by prayer, by study, by living according to God's Word. It means having a serious mind. Peter follows girding up one's mind by being sober. This doesn't mean that we have to be somber and unhappy. But friends, it means that we should be serious in living and watching for Christ. For it concerns the eternal destiny of our soul. Watching for the coming of Jesus. Be serious about serious things. That's what being sober here means. It means having a steadfast mind. A mind that is set firmly on hope. Look what he says again in verse 13. Be sober and hope. Hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Rest your hope fully, in other words, upon this promise. This hope is set on the grace of God by which we have the opportunity of salvation. When this grace is mixed with our obedient faith, the result is the saving of the soul. Friend, the fact that Jesus might, we don't know. The fact that Jesus might come back tonight, that ought to be a motivation for you and I today to take time to be holy before our God. Number two, I need to take time to be holy because I need to be like Him. Look again at verses 14 through 16. We need to be like Jesus Christ. as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust and your ignorance. What does the Hebrews writer say of Jesus? That he became obedient. He obeyed the commands of the Father. Verse 15, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Friend, we need to take time to be holy because we need to be like Him. You've heard the expression, like Father, like Son. Friends, this is to be as true as possible for the child of God. Verse 16 again, look at it. What does God say? What is Peter reminding us of? It is written. Well, Peter, what's written? Be ye holy, for I am holy. As God is holy, His children are to be holy. We are to be as much like God as possible, as much like our Father as possible. Because God is holy, since He is holy, we are to have a family resemblance to Him. We have a family likeness to bear. Now friends, these verses tell us what to do and what we should not do. Do not conform to former lusts, Peter says. We are to go after the things of God. Put behind the worldly aspects of our lives. Think of Romans 12, 1 and 2. Where Paul, writing to the Romans, tells them that they are not to be conformed to this world, but rather transformed by the renewing of their mind. They were to give their bodies a living sacrifice, Paul says. Friend, in that way, not conforming to the world, putting behind the worldly aspects of our lives and giving ourselves wholly over to God, presenting ourselves a living sacrifice unto Him. Well, friend, that's going to have an impact upon our conduct, isn't it? That's going to have an impact upon how we live before God and before the world. And Peter says, be holy in your conduct. Be holy in all manner of conversation, verse 15. In other words, friend, be God-like in all that you do. In that way, we can be holy like our Father. Friends, we need to take time to be holy, not only because we need to be like Him now, but because if we live like we ought to, then we're going to be like Him in the next life. Look for a moment. Keep a finger there in 1 Peter 1. Look for a moment at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Read with me verses 1 through 3. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. Friends, we need to have a desire to be like God now, because we have a desire to be like Him after this life. Take time to be holy, friends, because we need to be like Him. And friends, that's only going to occur if we're like Him in this life, that is, being like Him in the next. Take time to be holy, number three, because judgment is coming. Look at verse 17. 1 Peter chapter 1. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Friends, we need to take time to be holy, because judgment is coming, and it is sure. Our whole life, your whole life, my whole life, is going to be examined. Romans tells us, Paul writes to the Romans, that each of us is going to give account of ourselves unto God. Are you ready for that? Romans 14 and verse 15. Are you ready to give an account of yourself before the throne of God with all of humanity that has ever walked the face of the earth watching and listening? Our whole life, friends, is going to be examined. God will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 5. Are we ready for that? The word judge, friends, should not always be a scary word, though. For if we take time to be holy, if we are holy as God is holy, if we follow after Him and after the words of His dear Son, we have nothing to fear as we stand before the judgment seat of God, because God's going to judge the righteous to be righteous. Was Paul frightened to stand before the righteous judge? 2 Timothy 4 verse 8. No. As a matter of fact, on multiple occasions, Paul says that he was ready. He was looking forward to the next life. He was looking forward to the day of judgment. He was looking forward to receiving His crown. He was looking forward to finishing that race. And friends, you and I can as well. If we live righteously, if we live holy before the God of heaven. Friends, quite simply, without holiness in our lives, then the judgment is going to be a fearful and frightful thing. But if we take time to be holy, if we take time out of our busy schedules, out of our lives, and friends, when I say that, I say, I guess, in a manner facetiously, because as a Christian, when we take time to be holy, we are to be holy all the time. We are to stand before God righteous. Without holiness in our lives, friends, the judgment will be a fearful thing. Number four. We need to take time to be holy because of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Look at verses 18 and 19. Looking at the judgment, Peter writes, For as much as ye know, ye were not redeemed, ye were not bought back with corruptible things such as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, your vain lifestyles received by tradition from your fathers. Now whether Jew or Gentile reads this, this rings true. You weren't bought back with gold or silver, verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ. Friend, the entire reason, and I believe we said this a few weeks ago, Jesus was born to die. You ever thought about it like that? The sole reason that He came and is God, and was God incarnate, God in the flesh, the whole reason that He came to this earth was to die for you. That's it. He shed His blood as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The word redeemed can also be translated ransomed or a ransom. A price was paid, friend, for you and I. We could be the richest person upon the earth, friend, but we're not going to be able to buy our way into heaven. We cannot be redeemed with silver and gold, no matter how much we own. Material things mean everything to some people. But friends, when it comes to salvation, they mean nothing. Aimless conduct, as is sometimes put, talking about their vain conversation, aimless conduct, futile ways, another way we might put that. God redeemed us from that. He gave us purpose in life because of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. How valuable, friend, is your soul? God tells us time and again. John 3 and verse 16, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Paul writes to the Romans that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Hebrews writer paints the picture time and time and time again of Christ dying upon the cross to redeem us. It's valuable. His blood is, friend, because you're valuable. There is none other like His blood. Hebrews writer tells us that the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away the sin of the world. And friend, I don't know. I haven't done the math, but if you were to go back and you were to add up all the blood, the lambs, the bulls, and the goats, the turtle doves for the poor, all the blood that was shed under the law of Moses, that still would not save mankind. Like I said, I haven't done the math, but I'd be afraid to see that much blood. But Jesus died upon the cross, offered Himself a sacrifice one time for all. Hebrews 9 and verse 12 tells us that much. If there is none of the blood like His blood, the Hebrews writer says, not with the blood of goats and calves or bulls and goats, but with His own blood He entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Friend, it's because of that precious blood of Jesus Christ that we are able to approach the throne of God this morning in our worship to Him. That we are able to sing praises to His name. That we are able, friend, to know that our prayers are heard. Without the sacrifice of Jesus, without Him going to the cross, there would be no hope, none, of redemption. Because of that freedom from sin, friends, we should take time to be holy. We should strive to be holy people. Living our conversation, living our lives before God as a peculiar people, a holy nation, a royal priesthood. Friends, let's take time, not only this year, but for the rest of our lives, to be holy. Let's put away our Bible. Let's take out our psalm. Let's read the invitation song here in just a moment. Friend, are you living a life of holiness? Are you living your life in accordance with the Word of God? Hebrews writer says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Friend, if you're here this morning and you're not living a life of holiness before the God of heaven, you haven't lived a holy life, giving yourself over to Him, presenting your body a living sacrifice, again, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Being transformed by the renewing of your mind on a daily basis, in accordance with God's Word. Now friend, why not this morning put Jesus Christ on in baptism? Why not this morning, friend, become a child of God? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? That He is the Lamb that was slain for the remission of your sins? Will you repent, friend, of your sins and be baptized, confessing Him before men? Friend, it may be that you're here this morning and you have obeyed the gospel. Some point in your life you did put Christ on in baptism, but you haven't lived that holy life that you ought to live. Why not this morning, friend, come home? Giving your life back to God. Be His again. Friend, take time to be holy. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we ask that you come while we stand and while we sing.